Okay, so we left off on Lamed Dal Amud Aleph, the Gemara was discussing within this our Mishnah, which talked about that one or these two individuals who could be chayav for four different Isurim. So how could that be? Who's this author who holds the idea of it? Iser Chal Iser, in multiple examples, Iser Kolel, Iser Mosif, Iser Bas Achas, all at the same time. And they came to the opinion that's Rabbi Meir. And then the Gemara said, well, if it's Rabbi Meir, how does he hold, who's he like within the question of Tav Dvar Mitzvah, right? A person who had an intention to do a mitzvah and ends up making a mistake and does an Iser, who's he like? So the Gemara had said that the person that he's like, we assume is like Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Yeshua was, in the case of Tabit Bar Mitzvah, Paters, says your Pater. In this case, obviously, the Mishnah is holding your Chayiv. So Gemara said, well, maybe not. Maybe you hold that this is really like Rabbi Yeshua also. And Rabbi Yeshua, who was in the case of the Bris Milah case, right, the two babies, one is day 8, one's on Shabbos, one's day 7 on Shabbos, that in that case, that's Rabbi Yeshua's Paters, because the case is, you know, the time for Milah is Bahul, it's, you know, you know, you're tarud, etc. You have to get it done. You're right. You're rushing, but by our case, since getting married, there's no specific time, so he wouldn't be as lenient. So that's one possibility. So now the Gemara continues right from the, like right in the middle of the page with the word vehare. If you look at Tosus Vehotziu, go 3-4 lines down, 4 words from the end of the lines vehare. The Gemara questions this concept about zmano bahul as being a real thing. Vare truma de'ein zmano bahul v'kapater. There's a scenario of truma, a person eating truma who shouldn't have, and they did it by accident. That you're and the time is not an issue per se. And there and nevertheless, we have a mission where this has their pater. Meaning that the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua, who holds your pater in a case of Tabit Bar Mitzvah, is not specifically in a case where it's Zman HaBal, like it should be all the time. This is not, as the mission taught us. The guy's eating Truma, and someone shows up and tells him, you know, about his genealogy, something he didn't know. You know, his mother reveals to him that actually she had been divorced once, when she before she was with his father, and I go, oh my gosh, now it turns out that he's a Ben Grusha, so he's not a regular Kohen, he's a Halal, and he's not able to eat Truma. So he found out all of a sudden, right? So he's a Tav Dvar Mitzvah, he was eating Truma, and then he found out that he's actually Asur to eat Truma. So what happens? So says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Mechayiv, Keren Mechomesh, Rabbi Eliezer says he has to pay back Keren, the full amount that he ate, plus a Chomesh, plus another 20%, meaning basically, like if he was a ganav, there's a penalty you pay if you eat truma. And you're not a person who's not supposed to eat truma. So then, not only does it pay back what you ate, you have to pay back a penalty for it also. Rabbi Yeshua poter, Rabbi Yeshua is a poter. Why? Rabbi Yeshua is lishitasa. Rabbi Yeshua always holds, right? Tabit Var Mitzvah is poter, and that's not a case where the zman has anything to do with truma. It's something you can eat all the time. There's no time limit on it or anything like that. So answer the Gemara, no. The case was a case of eating Truma on Erev Pesach. Why? Because you're eating Truma on Erev Pesach, why is the Zman Bahul? You have to make sure you eat it all before Pesach starts. Rashi says, Truma on Erev Pesach, look at Rashi in the medium lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines up from the wide, super wide lines. Rashi says Truma Erev Pesach is Zmano Bahul Shaloti Sarif, right? Because it's gonna eventually have to get burned up. So you have very little time to make sure you eat it before it's time to get rid of it. So therefore, it is a case of Zmano Bahul, and that's why you no proof that Rabbi Yeshua holds it all the time. Maybe this case is also Zmano Bahul, and really Rabbi Yeshua, and in a case that's not Zmano Bahul, like our Mishnah, would also agree that you be chayiv. Okay, so there's no proof. Vibayis Ema, says the Gemara, or if you want, I'll still give you another answer. Be'isr bas achas, v'aliv de Rabbi Shimon. Or maybe the our entire Mishnah, for not the case of Truma, but Vibayis Ema, I'll explain to you our whole Mishnah in a different way. And how's that? That our entire Mishnah of the four different Isurim that we had talked about for these relationships are really all coming at the same moment. And this isn't really a machlokes. This isn't really a machlokas between, you know, sorry, one second. Yeah. that the whole machlokas, look at Rashi for a second. Rashi says Vibayitz Ema. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the super wide lines to the medium lines. Vibayitz Ema kula masnis and lav Rabbi Meir. Right, our question was, if the sheet is Rabbi Meir, is he like Rabbi Yeshua, is he like Rabbi Eliezer? Forget the whole question. We all, this whole time, was assuming that there's a sheet is Rabbi Meir. But maybe our whole Mishnah is actually not Rabbi Meir. Ela fila Rabbi Shimon dimeiko, huh? Meaning Rabbi Shimon, who typically is more lenient when it comes to the cases of Isra Chal Isra, and he holds Ein Isra Chal Isra. But maybe this case, Afil Rabbi Shimon, they make a hacha modi who could go into chalu kulu babas achas. Right, the one case where Rabbi Shimon himself, who held any yisr chal yisr, even in yisr kolal, even in yisr mosif, but the case of bas achas, where the yisr comes to this all at the same moment, even he agreed he'd be chai for multiple yisurim. So maybe forget the whole discussion of Rabbi Meir, and this is our mission is really within Shita Rabbi Shimon, and the case is that everybody, that all the yisurim came at the same moment. So let's remind ourselves what the Yisurim were, right? We had an Isra of Eishes Ish, the Isra of Eishes Ach, the Isra of Achos Ishto, and the Isra of Nida, right? So all four happening at the same time. And those are the four Yisurim that we were dealing with. And we said when these men get, you know, have tashim with these women, they're going to violate all four Yisurim. So Gemara says, okay, well, let's see how that's really possible. How can I have all these activated at the same moment? So says the Gemara, Bishlam akul hu mishkachas hu dishavinu shliach vishavu inhu shliach upagar shliach bishliach. Right, well, this is a case that Rashi quoted for us already last week, right? Which is, how are you going to find all these Isurim happening at the same moment? Forget Nida for a second. The first three. What happens? You have two men who are brothers who want to be Makadish, two women who are sisters. And what do? They both men make one person a shliach, Tim Bekadish, these two women. And then the two women make a shliach, Tim Bekava Kiddushin from the two men. And what happens? The two shliach, so typically, even if they make a shliach, it doesn't matter. The shliach's got to hand Kiddushin to one woman, Kiddushin to the other woman, right? So again, if Reuven's marrying Rachel, so they do Kiddushin, right? So the Isurim that apply from Reuven and Rachel are fine. But Leah's not in the picture yet, right? Because Shimon and Leah haven't gotten married yet. But if the two shliachs meet each other and they give the kiddushin right over at the same moment, right? So that or just it's just two one it's one individual meeting one individual, one shliach meeting one shliach. So he hands over the two rings right to the shliach, and he accepts the two rings at the same moment from the shliach of the men. So what happens? Reuven and Rachel, Shimon and Leah all get married, bebas achas, all at the same moment. So now the Yisurim of Eishes Ish, the activation of the Yisurim of Eishes Ish, the Isra of Eishes Ach, and the Isra of Achos Ishto all happen at the same second. Right? Because now you have two men married to two brothers married to two sisters. So all those Yisurim are now, again, they're not, the actual Isra isn't done yet, but the Isra is activated among those four people. Right? That's, we said that before in terms of, we mentioned this earlier, in terms of those three Yisurim being activated at the same moment. So that's fine. So the Gemara says, that's fine. I get that. I can have all three of those Yisurim being activated at the same moment in that case where the two Shliachs meet each other, so the Kiddushins all happen at the same moment. That's fine. However, there's still a problem, and that is the issue of Nida. So Vishlam Akulu Mishkachas Luhu, I get all of that, meaning the other three can be activated, the Shavinu Shliach, Vishavu Inu Shliach, right? They made a Shliach, and the men made a Shliach, Upaga Shliach, Vishliach, and the two Shliachs meet each other. El Nidos Hechi Mishkachasa. How can I have a situation where both of these women became an Isser Nida at the same exact moment? How's that possible? And the Isser was activated at the same exact moment. So Amrav, Vishufos mitoch yud gimel la'achar shlosha asar lichayuve inhu mitoch shnemasar la'achar shnemasar lichayuve inhi. What happened? The case was as follows. The case is that the two brothers are twins and the two sisters are twins also. And what happened? Look at Rashi. Yeah, look at Rashi. 1, 2, 3 lines in the wide lines. So he says that lichyuve inu klomar tam ze kedilachayev hazacharim shechalu kulan aleim avas achas, that their birthdays are the same time. Right? So the two brothers have the same birthday. And so they become Gedolim at the same moment. Right? The Bahach Yoma Asuba Klal Onshin. At that moment, they become 13. So now again, the woman could have already herself be Anita at that time, but it's not gonna matter because the two men become, you know, chayiv in mitzvos only, you know, at different times. So here the case is no, that they're twins. So the same day, that the fact that, by the way, that one is born 5 minutes before the other doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter what time of the day you're born, as long as you become chayiv in mitzvos on the day. It's actually a discussion in the postgame, but we assume that you become bar mitzvah, the, you know, tzitzkul chavim on that first night or whatever, the night when you turn 13. So at that point they turn 13. Ubitoch yud beis la'achan yud beis liyichu beninu sha'isha ba lachlal onshin bas yud beis shana v'yom echad, right? V'azachal yogimol v'yom echad, right? The women become bas onshin at 12, men become bar onshin at 13. And what happened? Umishkachas la shenodu hazacharim be'echad b'tishrei v'anekevos be'echad b'tishrei l'shana haba, right? The birthdays are the same day, but they're 1 year apart, right? So the girls are turning 12 at the same time that the boys are turning 13. Okay. Ubiyom echad mishlam yudbeis in the kevos shehen yudgimel zacharim, right? And so on the same day they turn 12, the boys turn 13. Umasru kiddushin sheachul layom macharas, and the kiddushin was given over a day before their birthday that should be chal the next day. Kishehen nas in gedolim the yom echad bishnas yudgimel ba'inan. Then the kevos yom echad bishnas yudalad zacharim. Fine, just saying the day after their, you know, the what we call the birthday is the first day of the next year. Okay, and what happened? And what happened? And these two women actually became nidos that day before. So what happens? The day, now imagine the same case. The two shliachs, right? One shliach for the men is handing the money to the shliach of the women. It is the day before everybody's birthday. Okay, and. I don't know why it has to be chal the next day. It could be that same day. But the bottom line is, as the day is turning to, one day is turning to the next, these women are already nida, they're already bleeding, they already became nida. So the all the isurim, so the isur of nida, it was also activated on the same day. That's the bottom line. Because the chiyuv applies to these men and these women at the same exact moment, and they're already, when they became 12, already were nidos at that moment. So therefore, all four isurim are activating at the same exact time. So that's how you can have very unusual, almost impossible scenario. But that's how you could have a possibility that the Mishnah is giving us of all four Yisurim Babas Achas. That's basically the point. Fine. So again, and as always, right, when the Mishnah brings these examples, it's not to tell us an actual case, but to tell us the klal, to proving the possibility of these cases being, you know, of the rules are more important than the actual case per se. Fine. So the bottom line is, that's how you could say such a case. Again, you could also just explain that this is really, you know, that this mission is not like Rabbi Shimon. Really, the case is all Al-Dibud Rabbi Meir, and you could have your conversation whether or not this is an issue of Tav Bar Mitzvah, if he holds like Rabbi Yeshua, but in the case of, but that's only the case when it's Bohol, or does he hold like Rabbi Eliezer? But the bottom line is, either you could hold like Rabbi Meir in a regular case of, you know, Isser Kolel, Isser Isser Mosif and Bas Achas, or you could even hold it's like Rabbi Yeshua, and the entire case is a case of just a case of Bas Achas. So there's different possibilities for this mission. Fine. Okay. Yeah, we're good. Okay. So fine. So Gemara continues. Mafrishin Osan. Right. So we mentioned before that we separate these women from their husbands for 3 months. Right after the mistaken Tashmish that takes place here. So again, the Gemara is assuming it was all a mistake, because if it wasn't a mistake, they can't go back. But we're assuming it was a mistake, so then after they have Tashmish with the wrong person, so now they have to wait 3 months before they can go to their actual husband. Why? Because we're concerned maybe they became pregnant, and so you give them 3 months to make sure that when she does become pregnant, we know exactly whose child it is. Fine. So ask the Gemara, V'ha ein isha misaberes bebi'a rishona. What are you waiting 3 months for? This is a scenario where everyone here hasn't been married before. So if the woman hasn't been married before, so she has a bir rishona with this man, but the typical rule is that a woman cannot become pregnant from that first time. It doesn't happen. So if that's true, why should I need 3 months? There's no reason to have to wait for her to go back to her original husband. So Amrav Nachman, Amrav Bar Rav, Bar Avua, Shabalu Vashanu. No, so Rav Nachman says in the name of Rav Avua, no, the case might be where, again, it was a mistake that they did Nisun with each other, that this man, you know, man A with woman B and man B with woman A. But, okay, but who says they only had Tashrish one time? Maybe they had Tashrish two times. And in which case, we would have a concern that maybe one of them, the woman had become pregnant. So Ve'ela hadetan Rav Yechia hare kan tezayin chatos telosin v'tartin havin. So, but wait a second. If we're talking about a possibility that they were actually together more than one time, and they were together two times. So again, we've said until now that this is going to lead to a scenario of multiple isurim, right? And we're going to see this brisa later that says that it's a scenario of 16. It's a possibility of 16 chataos that are going to have to bring because of again all of these isurim together. Four isurim, four people, etc. So it shouldn't be four. It's not going to be 16. You know, it's four people doing four yisurim. That's going to be 16, right? But it won't be 16 if they had tashmish twice. It's 32 chatos, right? Each time they're together, the iser they should have to be in different chatos. So if now we're talking about a scenario where they're together multiple times, there should be more chatos they're going to have to bring. So answer the Gemara v'letameich l'Rabbi Eliezer d'mechayev al koach v'koach tuvahavyon. Okay, but if that's really true, Rabbi Eliezer has a shita. They're not just chayev for the act of tashmish. You're actually chayev for every act within the act of tashmish. So that would be multiple yisurim, not just if you're going to count it that way. So I should have even more yisurim. So ela de bekoach rishon kachashiv hachanami de bebir rishon kachashiv. So just like in that case, we assume you're not chayev for every single. Action, every single motion of the body during Tashmish, you're chayav just for the first time, the connection. So too, we assume it's the Bir Rishona that we're really concerned with here. You bring the Chatas for that case. The fact that they were then together again, okay, but we'll deal with the fact that the first time that was the original case that led to the mistake. So that's why we're not going to do that. And if that's true, so then I understand. So that's why you still have to wait 3 months. We call this hafchana, right? The time to tell a difference. So to separate between one man and the other. But if that's true, I understand. So I'll do hafchana, I'll have a separation because it's a possibility they were together more than one time. So it says Gemara, Amalei Rav, Rav Nachman, can you turn the page? V'hatamar b'bir rishoni yabra. What do you mean? This whole conversation assumes that women can't become pregnant on the first time they have tashmish. That's not true. We know Tamar, right? Who tricked Yehuda, right, into having tashmish, and from the one time they had tashmish, she became pregnant. That's the reason why afterwards they find out that she became pregnant, and he says okay, she was mizana, etc. Even though it was actually him, but the point is that there was only one instance when Yehuda and Tamar were together. So that's a scenario of someone becoming pregnant on Bir Rishona. So Amalei Tamar be'etzva ma'acha. The Amar Yitzchak ko mo'acha shal beis Rebbe Tamar Shman. V'lam nikra shma Tamar al shem Tamar shema'acha be'etzva. So what did Tamar do? So Tamar, the whole point, again, the reason why a woman doesn't become pregnant on the first time is because she has the basulim there, right? The hymen is there, which has to be ruptured in order, in the first bia. So if that's true, that's the whole reason why the Gemara is assuming, at least, that women don't become pregnant on the first time. But so the Gemara says, I'll tell you what Tamar did. Tamar knew that she was only have one option, one opportunity to be with Yehuda. So what did she do? So she actually ruptured her basulim on her own, right? She did it herself. With her hand. So if that's true, and actually Yitzchak says that we have this concept that the Moachos of Beis Rebbe, women who had done this, that Rebbe knew about, or in the home of Rebbe, whatever, who would remove their basulim on their own, they call them Tamar. Why they call them Tamar? Because they did the same exact thing that Tamar did, which was removing basulim on their own, not waiting for an act of Tashmish to do so, but doing so with their own finger. Fine. So that's why Tamar was a scenario of a Bir Rishona, which led to becoming pregnant. But that's not the typical case. Okay, but now the Gemara is just going to ask us, once we bring up Tamar, not so fast. Why are you assuming that Tamar was the first time for her? It's not true. What do you mean? Tamar was married twice. Why are you saying that Tamar had, you know, became pregnant from her Bia Rishona? That's not correct. She was already married two times before she ever is together with Yehuda. That's the whole story, that she's married to Er, he dies, she's married to Onan, he dies, and Yehuda won't allow her to marry his third son. And that's the reason she does this. So Tamar was married twice already. So answer the Gemara, Er va'onan shimshu shaloka darkan. No, Er va'onan, when they had tashrish with her, they did not do so in the typical fashion. Rather, they did so anally. So there was no, we're not talking about the Besulim in that case. And that's the way they had tashmish. So Gemara was referred to as shalo kedarka, not the normal way. So that, in which case, if that's the way they always had tashmish, so then there's no, her basulim remained intact. There's nothing to talk about. So Gemara says, wait a second. So Gemara says, fine. So that answers that question. Gemara still is not happy. Meisvei, I have a contradiction from another case. Meisvei called esrim va'arba chodesh dash mivnim v'zor b'machutz. This is not Rabbi Paskin, but we have a sheet of Rabbi Eliezer who holds that in a scenario when a woman is pregnant, the Gemara always assumed that for 24 months after a woman's pregnant, that's when she typically nurses the baby for at least for 2 years. And during that time, the Gemara assumed then medically that it was unsafe for women to become pregnant. That was the medical information they had at the time. So Rabbi Yelez was of the opinion that what? That for the first 24 months after a woman has a baby, so what should the husband and wife do? That they can have tashmish, but the actual ejaculation should happen outside of the woman's body to make sure that she doesn't become pregnant. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Kol kaf, it's the fourth line in Rashi. Kol kaf dal chodesh shetinok yonek, while the child's nursing, dash mifnim mizar b'machutz kedei shalot yis'aber v'tigmol esbenah v'yamus. They were nervous that if a woman become pregnant, she would stop, she would be unable to nurse. There was no formula in those days, right? They'd be nervous that she'd be unable to nurse, and the baby would die. So therefore, even though there's a concern for Hatzara Zelavatala, right, so even though it had that concern, nevertheless, that's not as good a concern as the life of the baby. So they would make sure that Rabbi Elijah was of the opinion husband and wife can be together, but the actual ejaculation should happen outside the body. Make sure she doesn't become pregnant. So Amalei halalu eino ella kamaisa ervanonim. So the Gemara, that was Rabbi Elazar, and the other opinion said, "What are you talking about? You can't do that. That's what ervanon did, right?" So if that's the point being that we don't allow that, and that's what ervanon did. So if that's true though, if that was the maisa of ervanon, what does that mean? That means ervanon didn't only have tashmish with her shalok kerdaka. They had tashmish with her regular. But what would happen? But they would be zart. They would. This is what Rashi brings this medrash that they would have tashmish with her regular. However, what would happen is we would make sure not to ejaculate inside the body. So if that's true though, that means that she wasn't a basula. They were still having regular relations. So Gemara answers kemaisa erva onan velo kemaisa erva. It's like Maisa Erva Onan, but not exactly like it. Why? Kimaisa Erva Onan, Dichsev, Ayayim Ba El Eshes Achiv, Veshiches Arza. That's what the Torah actually says about him, right? That Onan would do this. He would have tashmish with his wife, but he would allow the Zerah, the semen, to spill on the ground. Velo Kimaisa Erva Onan, the Ilu Hasam, Shalok Kedarka, Vahachan Kedarka. But it's not like Erva Onan, because Erva Onan, when they would do so, that was a Bia Shalok Kedarka. Like we said before, that's anally, and that was different than this case, which is, and that's Erev Onan, which is different than the case we're talking about now, which is again a regular tashmish, but also doing the same thing of allowing the zera to spill on the floor. So not akasha. They can assume it was shalok hadarka, and that's the reason why Tamar, the Erev Onan, only had tashmish with her shalok hadarka, and that's why she was able to have. Why she still had her basula. Okay. So Bishlama Onan Dichsiv Bei Vishiches Arza. I understand Onan, you were holding him accountable for this, and Onan's the second brother, right? That was the Torah says about him that he did this. El Er Minalan, how do I know that Er did this? So Amar Rav Nachman Vayitzach Dichsiv Ayamas Gam Hu Gam Oso, right? It says about Onan, and he died also, right? Afu, but also Misa Meis. He died the same, right? The implication is that he died for the same reason. So what does it mean he died for the same reason? The Bishlama Onan Mishim Lo Lo Yazara. I understand Onan, he didn't want his sister-in-law to become pregnant, who he had now married, because in the end of the day, he didn't want the child to be, it wasn't be his child anyway, right? This is the first example of Yibum, actually, right? Is Erva Onan, is that that heir dies and Onan is asked to marry his sister-in-law, and he says, I don't wanna have a child with her. That child's gonna be called my brother's name. It's not gonna be me, it's not gonna be my child, I'm not interested in that. Right? Ella Er, my time of Avodachi, but Er, this is his wife, and it was his first, he was the first one to marry her. So why is he acting this way? So it's the answer to the Gemara, Kadesh Lotis Abir of a Yachish Yafya. Right, because he didn't want her to become pregnant, and if she becomes pregnant, she's not going to look as beautiful as she looked before. So this was his way of, of having birth control, so that his wife wouldn't look different, you know, lose her beauty, and that's why she did that. Fine. So but we'll stop here, and we'll pick up with the rest of the conversation tomorrow.